Good afternoon. Hope you'll forgive me. I'm going to sit down for this. Timmy called me several months ago and asked me if I would be willing to share my testimony at Huddle. And without any thought or hesitation or reservation, absolutely, Timmy, I'll do it. And I've been trying to figure out how to get out of it ever since. I don't have any problem with public speaking, but the more I thought about this, I couldn't figure out what in the world do I have to say, what do I have to offer, and it soon became apparent that I have an eye problem. Not just my vision and the kind you correct with prescription glasses, but Kevin has an eye problem, and I put myself first far too often. I brought my son Connor with me today. I yanked him out of school at his request. I told him I was going to come and share my testimony, and he said, "Dad, I want to go." It's okay. I'm not sure how that'll go, but I don't have anything to hide from him. He knows some of my past, not all of it. I'm in the middle of five kids, born to a band of gypsies. All five kids were born in different states, different cities. I'm from Chicago. My father's from London, England, and came over on the Queen Mary when he was a boy. My mother is from Cape Cod, and the rumor is she came over on the Mayflower, but she's never found a lot of humor in that. Growing up the middle of five kids, I was incredibly blessed and had no idea. I tell people I grew up like the Brady Bunch. A mom and dad that genuinely loved each other, cared for each other. I don't think I could count five times that they ever had any heated words. Never called her a name, never touched her. His mother was a battered wife, and so if we even said something remotely sarcastic, he just lay us out. Just all there was to it. Mom came first, and we were way down the list somewhere. But moved around the country. I have moved 31 times from Los Angeles to Cape Cod, from South Alabama to Chicago. Lived in seven states. Lived here in Kokomo, I think, three different times, and about five or six different locations here and around Kokomo. But graduated high school, 18 years old, took off, joined the Navy, went to basic, went to school, landed on a ship out in San Diego, and for the first time in my life, I was really free. I could, other than the obvious of being in the military, you show up, you do your duty, and in your off time, you go and play. Well, this was a whole new kind of play, not only domestically, but internationally. I think I've been to, it's either 26 or 28 countries, and I've moved more times and been to more countries than I am years old. I turned 50 this past summer. I have two boys, Connor, 12, sitting back there, and my older son, Cameron, 16, and had a test today and couldn't be with us, but old Jim Butcher back there introduced me to my wife 23 years ago at a birthday party out at Champaign Shores, and for some unknown reason to me, she's still with me 23 years later. We've lived here in Kokomo, we moved to Alabama, and when we moved back in 03, all this time from my earliest recollection, I liked the effect of alcohol. It made me feel more alive and excited, and there was just something alluring about that effect of alcohol. So when I got into the military, you can well imagine that they don't only allow it, they almost promote it. Everywhere you go, it's drink, 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 and so I was glad to oblige. Got locked up in a Filipino jail, being drunk out of my mind. Got so drunk in the Philippines once, I literally got on the wrong ship and went to bed. You can't make that stuff up. When I did wake up, I was actually in my rack where I was supposed to be, but it took two MPs. Somebody coming back off liberty is almost like the Three Bears, you know. It's like, hey, there's somebody sleeping in my bed. I had been on this other ship before and had sailed on it, but it was not where I was supposed to be. And the MPs, literally, I was completely out. Dragged me off one ship down the pier and back onto my ship, threw me in my rack, and my penalty was our next port of call was Hong Kong, and I had to be back on the ship by midnight, which means I just had to drink more faster, all that meant. But at any rate, got through the military, somehow managed to get out of there with an honorable discharge. Moved back to Alabama where my family was at, and still living a blessed life, not really cognizant of what reality was about. About 4 o'clock in the morning, I get a phone call, and voice on the other end is one of my older brothers, just basically crying, telling me, tell me it's not true, tell me it's not true. I didn't know what was going on. Come to find out, my oldest brother had been killed in an automobile accident. So I immediately got up, went home, got my stuff, and returned to Tuscaloosa where my family was at. And a funny thing happened after that. It's November 11th, 1989, so almost 28 years to the day. A Methodist pastor came to our house. My brother Mike was the only member of our family attending church. I had always believed there is a God, so you could say I believed in God, but I just didn't understand about having a relationship with Christ. But this Methodist pastor told me that she couldn't give me an answer why this had happened, but that God has a plan for each and every one of us, and everything that we do, or everything that happens in life is kind of part of our story. Well, if I drank a little before that happened, I drank a lot afterwards. And drinking didn't always seem to heal the pain. So I started doing drugs. And short of some of the synthetic products that are on the street today, I probably tried just about everything, and some of them multiple times. But as anyone who's ever been an addict or had an addiction or affliction will tell you, that it's there's no healing in that. You're just burying the pain until some later date when it will come out. It did come out on August 7th of 2007, crying, blubbering, snotting all over Mike Garrow's shoulder. I gave my life to Christ at the Great Banquet in Kokomo, Indiana. And yeah, absolutely. Thank you. I don't take credit for that in any way, shape, or form. I give all the glory to God. He has blessed me my entire life. I just didn't see it or recognize it for what it was until having gone through that experience. So at 40 years old, just prior to that, my buddy Rex over there had brought me to Huddle, and I think it was in 03 or 04, maybe second year of Huddle or something, and had been coming pretty consistently ever since. A lot of familiar faces in this room, a lot of guys that I've talked with and prayed with and prayed for me. Dick over there taught me my life scripture. It's Ephesians 6:10, and that... I don't know why that chokes me up, but it does, that we are put on the full armor of God every day. And there's a lot of days that's really what gets me through the day. Being a father of two children and a husband and try to be active in the community, and I made a list the other day of organizations and activities that I'm involved with, and I ended up with a list of 18 different programs between the Banquet and Awakening and Huddle and Dad Camp and Church and Staff Parish and activities with the kids and Bible studies and things like that, and they're all good things, but I realized that I've just got far too much on my plate. I've never been really good at saying no, and I'm still not. Well, I'm sitting here today, I guess, but I don't regret the decision. I just didn't really think that I had that much to share or to say or to offer. And as God does so often, he puts things in front of us. I heard on the radio this morning after a little election that went on yesterday that, you know, people will let us down. Our leaders will often let us down if that's what we're hanging on to. So I choose not to hang on to people or to things, but to hang on to God. And I say that like I'm really good at doing it, and I'm not. I have to put that armor on every day. Dick got up at Huddle about 6 or 8 or 10 years ago, I don't know how long it was, and he actually got up and he walked around and he talked about how he walked out of his house every day, and as he's walking out to his car, you know, he puts the helmet of salvation on and the breastplate of truthfulness and the sword of the Spirit, and I'm sure I'm butchering that, but it never left me, and he probably has no idea that had an impact on somebody, but I look around the room and I see so many people in here that I've had interactions with, and Kevin and Mike and Stan and Rex, and there's just Marv over here. There's just a lot of guys in the room that have meant an awful lot to me. Even Chuck, if you can believe that. But, you know, I see over looking up Chuck. I don't have a whole lot more to add, guys. I lived a pretty tumultuous life early on. At the age of 40, I decided not to live that way anymore, and I've been trying to walk the walk ever since. Some days I'm successful, and some days I'm a miserable failure. You know, I'm just a broken sinner saved by grace, and appreciate the opportunity to be here, and certainly got to give a shout-out to my wife, Jenny. Local girl, incredible woman, works at St. Joe Hospital. Bore me two beautiful kids and has put up with my nonsense for, you know, going on 25 years. But baby, when you hear this, you know I love you. Guys, thank you for having me today. God bless.